I would like to welcome all our visitors this morning. We thank you for joining us. And also being last week being Veterans Day, I would like to take this time to thank all our veterans. We praise you and thank you for your service. For all of those who may have lost loved ones in service to our country, we praise you, thank you for your sacrifice to us, that we can gather here today without fear of persecution, and that we can worship God in the freedom that we have in this country. This morning, we are going to look at a text in which the Sadducees try to get Jesus to deny the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus will not fall into their word trap. Instead, what he does is show that God is the God of the living and not the dead. And we can know by his words that we have no fear of death. As a matter of fact, we have fear of nothing because of what he has done for all of us on the cross. And because of this promise from God, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brothers. And the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in the same manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrections, whose wife of them is she? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, and being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he called the Lord God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning comes in the midst again of a battle between the leaders of the Jews and Jesus. It had first been with basically both the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and now the Sadducees are going to try to use Jesus to their own gain. The Sadducees were a group among the Jews who believed that there was no resurrection of the dead. And so now they're going to try to draw Jesus onto their side. And in doing this, they set up a rather absurd thing. And so, but our first verse starts out with this whole trick. Now there came to him some of the Sadducees, who said that there is no resurrection. And they questioned him, saying, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies having a wife and he is childless, his brother should take the wife and raise up offspring to his brother. And we see here that God, through Moses, set up this rule. And basically, it was for their protection. And that comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. When a brother lived together and one of them dies and has a son, or has no son, The wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her for himself as a wife and perform the duty of a husband and husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of the dead brother, that his name shall be not be blotted out from Israel. Now this whole thing, we have to somewhat understand what would happen in those days to a widow. If they were brought outside of the family that they were in, they had no means of support, and they were left basically to beg. And so what this law that God gives actually shows His grace to the widow, that she would be taken care of by her husband's brothers, by her husband's family, and she would be provided for. But as we look at these things, we also understand that even sometimes we have questions that are kind of like the Sadducees have here. Because certainly there are widowed people, and certainly that they have gotten married. And so you kind of wonder, well, what's this all about? But that's not what Jesus brings this out to be. They bring up this obscure law. When someone asks you about the law of God, would this be the first one that you would come up with? Nah. Most of us wouldn't even think about this one. It had never come up. Yet the Sadducees are digging. They're trying to get Jesus to come to this idea. And so they talk about it. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died childless. And the second and the third took her. And in the same manner all seven died, leaving no children. And finally the woman died also. And in the resurrection, therefore, which one's wife will she be? For they all had seven wives. Now the Sadducees had given Jesus something that would seem very difficult, especially in light of how we think in this world. Because we have an order set up and we think that everything is going to follow that order. But what we find out is God does not necessarily follow our order or our ideals. All these things were done so that the widow would be cared for and the death of her husband and the name of her husband would be carried on in an earthly manner. And as absurd as this whole scenario seems, it becomes very close to us because it's, well, what does Jesus answer? How does this all work out? And this is where Jesus really turns the thinking of our humanness upside down on its ear. Because Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For neither can they die anymore, for they are like the angels and are the sons of God, being the sons of the resurrection. And this is where the rubber hits the road. God's rules and God's laws are not what happens in this world. When we look at the coming of heaven, when we look at the resurrection of the dead, being male or female means nothing. Who you're married to and what family you come from mean nothing. It's very different than the way that we think of this world. Because we have this idea of what this order is supposed to be. Now this gives me a little bit of opportunity at this point to give an aside. And it's something that we talked about at quite great length in our adult Sunday school class this morning. But the more I thought about it and I thought about the discussion, the more I thought it needed to be discussed here. We have an order within this country. We all, or many of us, went to the polls a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, and we elected a president. People say, well, I didn't vote for him. We, as a people, elected a president. Agree or disagree, our God is still in control. Our God is bigger than the U.S. government or the President of the United States. His rules are much greater than that. Our job as believers in Jesus Christ, as His people, are to pray for Barack Obama that he would have wisdom and strength to lead and guide this nation. Because that is what he has asked us to do. I don't necessarily have to agree with him, or I could agree with him wholeheartedly. He is our president. It is not the end of the world. It is just another president. I've heard all kinds of these things in the last 2 weeks where I've been, and I've gotten all kinds of emails. Folks, pray for the man. He's got one of the toughest jobs in the world. Agree or disagree, he's our president. Respect him. God has set him in that place. You see, it's not maybe what we wanted or what certain individuals of us want. Because God doesn't do things the way that we would have him do things. The whole presidency is kind of like the coming of Christ. And I don't mean to separate him and make him Christ. That's not my point here. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews had set up who the Messiah was going to be. They certainly had an idea that he was going to come in as a great king, a conqueror. But God didn't send his son in that way. God sent his son as a poor carpenter's son. In an obscure place. There was no fanfare at his birth. And then that supposed great leader, as he finally raises to his ultimate power, or ultimate popularity, goes into Jerusalem to the fanfare of all the people and allows himself to die. Humbles himself to the death on the cross. It doesn't make sense in our world. It doesn't follow our rules. And that's what Jesus is really telling the Sadducees here. Our kingdom does not follow what you believe are the rules and how I set things up. God is much greater than what Jerry thinks about how this world should be run. In His kingdom, in the end, none of the stuff that happens here on earth is going to matter, except that you understand who Jesus Christ is and that you know that you are forgiven in His name and shed blood. That's the important part. The rest of it is just stuff that happens here in the kingdom of the left hand. What is important is the proclamation of the gospel and following the person of Jesus Christ. Not who we're married to. Not who our parents or grandparents were. Not what church we go to. Not what political party we're involved in. But rather, do we know who Jesus Christ is? This is the most important thing. And what Jesus tells us is in the end, we are like the angels. We are the sons of God, being the sons of the resurrection. Do you realize the promise that we have here? None of that other stuff matters. What matters is what God has done through His Son. God sent His Son, not as the conquering king, but as the servant that is willing to go to the cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. And we as believers are to keep focused on that fact, irregardless of what goes on around us. Because that's the kingdom of God. And we're to go out and proclaim that kingdom, to tell people of the forgiveness that they have, to tell them how much God loves them through our word and through our deed. Because we are now alive. We are alive in Christ Jesus. And this is what the last verses, two verses tell us. But the dead are raised. Even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Jesus Christ is where we live, we breathe, and we have our being. It is not because we are a member of the United States of America. It is not because we are Michigan people. It is not because we are Upers. It's not because of the family that I grew up in. It's not because of the church that I grew up in. It is because we are in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. And it's not who we are married to. Is marriage a wonderful and blessed institution by God? Absolutely. He compares it in Ephesians to Christ's love for the church. But it's only a foretaste of what we have as we are joined with Him. And this is the thing that we need to remember. God changed all the rules in His Son, Jesus Christ. He forgives all our sins. He remembers them no more. And we are joined to Him. And in Him, we all live to Him. And this is the important thing that we need to remember. It's not who we're married to. It's not our families. It's not our country, our political party, or any of those things. It is being in the person of Jesus Christ and understanding what He has done for us. In Jesus' name.